Hallelujah. Amen. It gives me great pleasure this morning to have two of my most wonderful sons in the Lord. Like I always say, they have become friends. And I'm tremendously proud of both of them. In ministry, they are doing extremely well. In life, they are doing extremely well. Earlier, the workers, we received the beat of Pastor Segun Adenuga's ministry. Pastor Segun Adenuga served with me, and he served in various capacities. And he was the head of our workers' directorate and the head of every other thing. I put him in charge then. By the grace of God. Praise the Lord. And it did extremely well. And we also know Pastor Taiwo Lubenga from Leicester. He too is not he's not a stranger to this place. Pastor Segun has given us his a taste of his own ministry. So we're going to receive Pastor Taiwo, and then Pastor Segun will come back later. Amen. Shall we welcome Pastor Taiwo Olugbenga?
I don't know who you're clapping for, but if you want to clap for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Ancient of Days, the King of the Valley, right upon his stand, the one who rests for his and is to come, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The Bible says, whatever your hands find to do with all your might. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Please be seated. You know, most times when I come here, I come to receive inspiration. You guys inspire me in ways that you cannot even begin to fathom because of what we see. My brother and myself, we were talking about when we were here last year, same time last year. We like the turkey in the U.S. That's why we always come. It's not because of pastor or, you know, that's secondary. The main purpose of our coming is the turkey. All right? So, as long as you have turkey, we'll keep coming. All right, praise the Lord. But what we saw last year, you know, we went around again and said, this can only be God. And I'm here to announce to somebody that the best is yet to come in your life. Amen. I said the best is yet to come in your life. you know, Pastor has a lot of children. But there's one that is very special. Hello? There's one that is very special. His name is Segun Adenuga. Please put your hands together for my team brother, Segun Adenuga. Now, I said special. Now, there's one that is extra special. Look at him very well. His name is Taiwo Olugbenga. Please put your hands together for Jesus. we thank God for what God is doing in Wisdom Assembly. We can, you know, take it for granted for what God is also using you to do. I pray that the Lord has begun a good work in you. We complete it even unto the coming of Christ in Jesus' name. I've got about 3.5 hours, so I'll just... All right, come back. Turn me your Bibles quickly. So, I don't have 3.5 hours, so please don't leave now, please. Mark chapter 11, we read from verse 1 to 10. I want to talk to us today about partnership with God. Partnership with God. I bring you greetings from my very beautiful wife. I love her. You know, I love her so much, it hurts. How can you love somebody this much? But it's not my fault. You know, when somebody supplies you with beans and plantain every time, and as a Taiwo, you know, Taiwo's the well, Mark chapter 11. Let's read from verse 1 to 10. Okay. I like the New King James Version, but let's go pastor's way. I told you, anytime I'm standing here, myself and pastor, we're two different people. So do what I want, not what he wants. Do we have the New King James Version of the Bible? All right. Uh-huh. That is me. I have the microphone. I can tell pastor to stand up and sit. I have microphone. Then after this, he will beat me. And write, sign my letter to Afghanistan. there's an opening. Please, anybody that, at the end of the service, God is leading you. We have an opening in Afghanistan to start a church. In fact, there's a house. There's everything that you need. I'm serious. I'm not laughing now. I'm serious. So if you believe God is sending you that direction, please let me know. At the end of the service, I work directly with the General Overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. You'll be fast-tracked. Okay. All right. When they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, Saint Taiwo and Shegun. And he said to them, go into the village opposite you. Go into Kansas City. Is it Missouri or Kansas State? Whichever one you pick, just pick it. All right. And as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied. In your Bible, if you can highlight this, colt tied, on which no one has sat. Lose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately, he will send it here. So they went their way and found the colt tied again by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. By his grace, the Lord is going to loose somebody bound here today. Amen. I said, somebody who is held bound, the Lord is going to loose you here today in the mighty name of Jesus. But some of those who stood there said to them, why are you doing? What are you doing? Losing the colt. There are some people that they are not happy that you are being set free. There are people that they want you to remain at ground zero that you have always been. So when they see you progressing in life, they will rise up and say, why aren't you where we left you? Praise the Lord. I'm prophesying to the life of somebody. By the end of this year, people will say, this is where we left you, but this is where you are now. You will move forward better than where they left you. In the mighty name of Jesus. And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Because they said what Jesus sent them to say. By his grace, I'm going to tell you what Jesus said I should say to you. They will let you go. Amen. I said, those who are been holding you bound, they will let you go today. In the mighty name of Jesus. It's not the voice of Taiwo they will hear. It's not the voice of man that they will hear, but they will hear what Jesus, they said, what Jesus told them to tell these people. Jesus said, I heard a testimony. Let me pause and share this testimony with you quickly. You know, somebody was brought in. I mean, he was clinically insane. He was mad. And they brought this person in. And, you know, about three people had to hold this person down. And he said, sit down. He said, who is telling me to sit down? In the name of Jesus, I said, sit down. I said, okay, if it's Jesus, I will sit down. Sat down. Kneel down. He said, who is telling me to kneel down? In the name of Jesus, I said, kneel down. The person knelt down. He said, raise up your two hands and surrender to God. He said, who is telling me to raise up my two hands? He said, in the name of Jesus, I tell you to raise up your two hands. And after they finished praying for the person, the demon on the inside of the person left. Why? Because demons only answer to one person. You have heard this before in Psalm 24. If you read, when you get to go and read from 7 to 10. Psalm 24, 7 to 10. It said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Listen. Gates and doors They don't listen to the voice of man. That was why that question was asked. Who is telling us to lift up our heads? If it's man, they will remain there. But he said, no, it's not man. He said, it's the Lord. Strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. That is the one that is telling them to lift up their heads. Jesus is the one that is saying, be released and you are going. All right, let's go back. Then they brought the cloth to Jesus and threw their clothes on it. And they sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road. And others cut down leaves, branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father, David, that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. 11th verse. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Amen. I want to share with us very quickly this message. I was sharing with Pastor. I said I have a challenge with titling messages. So you can call it partnership with God, or partnership with Jesus, or partnership, I don't know, whatever you like, just write. Or you can say partnership with Taiwo. It's okay. Praise the Lord. Now, what is a partnership? When God created this earth, there's something that God wanted to do. God wanted to replicate exactly what is in heaven here on earth. And God said it is man that should have dominion here on earth. So when I'm referring to man, I'm not only talking about the man as a male. I'm talking about male and female. Praise the Lord. Now, God wanted man to have dominion here. But God knows that for man to have dominion, on our own, we cannot have dominion. We have tried it before. We failed miserably. So the only way you can have dominion here is only when you are in partnership with God. Praise the Lord. So God, he has put some principles in place. The reason a lot of us are where we're at today is because we are not partnering with God. I think it's John 15, if you read verse 5. John 15, verse 5. He said, I think the latter part, he said, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. And I don't know how many of us that you have been trying. You have been struggling in life. You have been doing everything. I believe by the time you leave here today, you need to make up your mind to partner with the one that can give you dominion. Said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, the story that we have read is the story about a cult that was tied down. Jesus at this time wanted to enter into Jerusalem. Jesus wanted to announce for the last time, enter into Jerusalem and just let them know that the kingdom of this earth belongs to him. He wants you and I to have the same dominion here on earth. You see, anywhere I go, by his grace, I always say this, it's pastor's fault. Anything that is happening to me in ministry today is pastor's fault. Because pastor is the one that introduced us to, we just wanted to come to church for him to say in Jesus' name and for us to say amen. But he now started to introduce us to some things. And, when he's going somewhere, listen, let me warn you. Before you follow pastor to some places, pray and fast. Because the same anointing on him will rub on you. And they'll begin to notice you. Now, I work with the General Overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. But the man said something to us one day. He said, before you go, call me. I will pray for you. That when you get there, there's a favor that will go ahead of you, that whatever you ask them for. We went to a particular country, Islamic country. We went to Qatar. This is a place that they will not allow Christians to gather in a place. And the man said to us, he said, when you get there, tell them that we need a sports hall for our meeting. I spoke to the personal assistant, I said, did you hear what he said? That we can get a big house Move all the furniture out and have the meeting there. The man said, go and ask them that the general overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, my name is Pastor Enoch Adejare Adeboye, that I need a sports hall for my meeting. So we got there. The first place we went to, we said we want to have a church meeting. Said, are you mad? I said, but Pastor Adeboye said we should ask. He said, we should have said Pastor Adeboye. Oh, is it the one that organized something in Dubai? I said, yes. He said, you should have said Pastor Adeboye said he needed a place. Let me announce to you, we had that meeting at a sports hall. That day, the grace that I saw, I mean, if I wasn't there, I was shocked with the number of people that came. Now, the security people that they sent that they should keep the peace, when the man started to speak, they were coming to just say, okay, let's hear what he's going to say. By the time he finished speaking and he made altar call, one was going. The same thing happened in China, I told you, that he said, stop, I'm not saying you should come for me to pray for you. I'm saying if you want to give your life to Jesus. And they came. They said, yes, we want to know Jesus. Listen, when there's a grace upon your life, nothing can hold you down. God wants you to have this dominion. He wants you to live a life of freedom, a life of liberty. But the challenge with a lot of us is because we're not partnering with him. In fact, we rather partner with man, especially when you hear that there's a particular man doing very well. Listen, I'm not telling you to partner with Pastor Carl. I want you to partner with the God of Pastor Carl. This is what I have come to understand. That for me to move forward, for me to fulfill the purpose of God for my life, I need to partner with God. So what is partnership? The dictionary definition of partnership is, it said, is the state or condition of being a partner. Participation, association, or joint interest. I said earlier, God wants to, want, his desire is to replicate exactly what is going on in heaven. What most of us are doing is we have been sold a lie that the devil owns this world. Hello? We have been sold a lie. And most of us have bought it. That the devil owns this world. That is why most of us are partnering with the devil. You see, I mean, in the music industry, you hear all this nonsense that is going about. That you have to be part of a particular elite society. I don't want to mention the name. We're in church. You can ask me outside in the parking lot. I'll tell you. And most people are partnering with worldly organizations. I mean, I was called in the city. I mean, when you become a person of influence and people will be coming. And there was this organization that they said, you know, association rather, in Leicester. And they invited me. That, oh, because you have influence over your people, we want you to be part of this association. And they said, the first thing they said to me, that if you are part of this organization, every year, minimum, your minimum take home is £2 million. What got me worried was, why are you going to invite me to an association and the first thing you talk to me about is money? So I went. Just out of curiosity, not because of money. Well, £2 million would help as well. So I went. And they started to talk about, you know, the things that, you know, they use, they we need to do, how we'll do some things. And the meetings, they always in the midnight. So I asked them, I said, where is God in all of this? I said, don't worry. God understands that we are in this world now. We need to do some things. And I said to them, I'm sorry, I can't be part of this association. Praise the Lord. The story of that cult. The cult was tied down. Jesus wanted to enter into Jerusalem for the last time. And Jesus wanted to prove to us that when you partner with him, he can do the following. Number one. When you partner with Jesus, you are called out from where you are to freedom. The cult was tied down. But Jesus said, if you, like that cult, if you partner with me, no matter how much or whatever it is that they have used to tie you down, that it can set you free. If you read John chapter 8, verse 32, John 8, 32, he said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The cult was tied down. So, the cult could have said, this is my lot in life. Let me remain here and die here. But the cult decided to partner with Jesus as he was entering into Jerusalem. The second thing that you see in that scripture was that the cult was tied down. That means that the cult was stagnant. So, Jesus called this cult out of stagnancy. I don't know about you. Some of us, we have been walking like elephants, but we are reaping like ants. Fruitless efforts. This cult tied down. You want to move forward. But because the rope can go so far, it's not that you don't want to move forward. I mean, if you read the story in Acts chapter 3, for me, that is the way most of us are. This guy, he said he had friends. People, they will bring him and they will lay him by the gate called Beautiful. When this guy was let loose, what happened? The guy went inside the gate called Beautiful. It was possible that his friends, he would have said to them, I want to enter into what, I want to know what is beyond the gate called Beautiful. They will say, it's not people like you that they're looking for there. Praise the Lord. You know, I always joke with my wife. I said, it's your fault that I'm looking this good. It's my wife's fault. I wasn't looking this good when we met. Pastor Carl's fault. Pastor Carl was, were you the one that joined us? Okay, it was Pastor Mattel and himself. He took part. You know, then, before we got married, I wasn't looking, I was, even me, I wouldn't have married me. You know, I said to my wife, I said, what did you see? Why did you say yes? Because my wife, and I don't have much time to tell you a bit about my wife. My wife came from a very, pastor used to yap me yesterday. I said, well, it's okay. It's the one that owns the us. It's the one that owns everything that belongs to the us, isn't it? All right. Now, my wife came from a very wealthy home. Very wealthy. I mean, the dad was the first licensed diamond dealer in Africa. Very wealthy. And I came from a very... I beg you, if you go to Lagos, Nigeria, please don't go to where I came from. How many of us know a place called Lagos in Nigeria? I'm not talking to Lagos in Portugal. I'm talking about Lagos, Nigeria. Okay, I can see only two hands. All right. Now, where I was born, the place is called Mushi. You see? Now, the reaction of these people showed that they wouldn't have married me either. But listen, people see me now. They want to be associated with me. I said, listen, there was somebody then. I didn't have anything. And I went to this person. And I said, help me. I know that this is not where God has called me to. I said, I'm not saying give me money. Just all I need is a passage out of this place. And the person looked at me. He said, even if they are distributing American visa, that by the time it gets to you, that you smelling, and the reason I was smelling, no, it wasn't my fault. We didn't have constant water supply. You know, it's not even light. So we bath, we take a bath Well, once in two nights. Sorry, in a fortnight. It's just because we have to ration water. So, and I went to this person. Unfortunately, that was the time that we were rationing the water, and you call it water. Okay. And I've not taken my bath, so the smell wasn't nice. So let's put it that way. And the person said, the way you are smelling, the visa officer, we call police for you for soiling the hair. And I remembered, then I wasn't a Christian. I've shared with us in Wisdom Assembly before. I was born into Islam. That's another story, and I'm not going to go into that. But I said something. I said, God, if you are up there, whatever you want me to do to leave this place, let me know. I will do it. And listen, thank God that, and you know, the Bible says, God said, his glory he will not share with any man. Thank God this person did not help me. Oh, can you imagine that person was the one that helped me? I mean, they can call me at any time. Ty will come now. Yes, ma. Ty will do this. Yes, ma. But because God did not want to share his glory with anybody, God made a way out of no way. In fact, the scholarship I got had closed. I went to play football, soccer, and somebody were playing there. And I scored a goal. He said, look at you. Your mates there are so place. He said, I thought you, they said you went to school. I said, yes. He said, somebody just got a scholarship to go to France. If you, and I said, really? Where? He said, well, it's closed. I said, no. Tell me. I will go to the place. And I went, and somebody saw me and helped me, and the rest, as they say. Listen, where God wants to take you, no man can stop you. In the life of somebody, stagnancy ends today. Amen. Fruitless effort ends today. Amen. Because you're going to partner with Jesus. Amen? Let me pause. My sister just walked in. My sisters just walked in. Evangelist Ramona and Sister Rachel, you're welcome. Praise the Lord. So you can press play again. Now, the one that I'm telling you to partner with is the one that the Bible tells us that he has the key of David. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Revelation 3, verse 7. He has the key of David. He can unlock you. You know, there are some people that they want you to be like this for the rest of your life. You know, there are some times that I will go to some places. They will not recognize me. And I will say to them, it's Taiwo. It's Elijah Hassan. People on that side, they don't understand. It's Taiwo. And they're saying, the one that we know cannot be this fine. The one that we know smells. The one that we know. But I will say to them, ask me any question. They will ask me, I will tell them, simple, you don't look the same. People just want you to be the way you were. They want to leave you where they found you. But one thing about Jesus is the fact that that cord was tied. The cord was not left where it was found. Praise the Lord. Number three. When you partner, the first one is number three. The first one, calling you to freedom. The second one, calling you from freedom out of stagnancy. And the third one is calling you to decoration. If you read that story very well, when the cord was loosed, when they brought the cord to Jesus, what did the disciples do? They put their clothes on the cord. They decorated the cord that even the owner of the cord will not be able to recognize the cord anymore. Decorating your life. You know, there's a particular scripture verse in the Bible that describes Taiwo. And it's in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. And I'll just quickly share that with you. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. You see, that is why I say to you, please, don't despair. This is not where your story will end. No, somebody didn't hear what I said. This is not where your story will end. Amen. Listen, He said he raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the beggar from the ash heap. Comma. Now, there's something between the ash heap and to set them amongst princes. Listen. If taking the beggar from the ash heap and takes the beggar to the palace, they won't let him in. There's a period of refining. You know, when Joseph was called from the prison, Joseph was not taken straight, sir, to Pharaoh. He had to be cleaned up. He had beards. And you will not go to the presence of Pharaoh looking like that, because in Egypt, they don't do beards. So he was cleaned up. That Pharaoh did not see a prisoner. Pharaoh saw a problem solver. Listen, I said there's something between from the ash heap to send it amongst princes. God will redecorate your life. Amen. There are some places, listen, there are some places that when I introduce myself and I tell them where I came from, they will say, why do you have to lie to us? You don't have to lie. Listen, one day, I was on a private jet. Taiwo, yes, from Mushin, yeah, that one. On the private jet. And I was talking to somebody on the plane. And we got talking, and the person said, oh, so what are you into? And I said, oh, I'm into ministry. And he said, your background. I said, tell me yours. And this person started to tell me his background. I was born in such a place. I grew up, you know, I went to this and to Capitol. I went to Harvard. I said, oh, really? He said, so what about you? I said, I'm a child of God. That's my background. Because the blood of Jesus. I said, I can't remember my background. Because the blood of Jesus did what? Has wiped it. You know, there are some places, praise the Lord. There are some places that, it's not a lie. He said, remember the things of old? No more. Said I will do a new thing. It's the new thing that I can remember. Do you think I am foolish to tell somebody on a private jet that I'm from? All right. Praise the Lord. When you partner with God, He redecorates your life. He wants you to look like who He already created you to be. Listen, you know, God created you to be the head and not the tail. You know, when I was, you know, when I started, you know, I was this timid, you know, person. I don't talk. I, you know, very gentle. All right. He agrees. Very gentle. You know, I'm not talking. But, you know, God said something to me. He said, you have to start behaving you know, where I'm taking you. You must start to behave like you're already there. Amen. Oh, you don't understand. Listen, some of us, we still have this poverty mentality. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. You're not a beggar. Behave like the Bible says, Pastor Shekun said it this morning, Haggai chapter 2, verse 8. He said, the silver and the gold, the cattle upon 1,000 hills, if that is the one I'm in partnership with, don't forget, I told you the definition of partnership. Joint ownership. Joint. God has 50% now. So the definition of that for me is the silver and the gold that belongs to God. He has 50%. Who has the other 50%? No, it's not I. It's Taiwo Olubenga. Point to the one that has got the 50%. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord and all. Now, who has 50%? You see, some of us, we are afraid to take possession of what belongs to us. It will decorate your life. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Number 4. When you partner with God, will call you to a special level of anointing. And I will explain that. If you read Mark chapter 5, if you read from 27 to 29, this cord was tied. Now it's loose. Now it's been decorated. One woman said, if only I can touch the... Oh, and I don't have time to tell you why that woman with the issue of blood. And I'm sure Pastor must have said it to you here. Pastor, you know, taught me years ago. The reason that woman was... It's not that the woman was afraid to touch the whole body of Jesus. But the woman didn't want to defile Jesus. Because in those days, a woman, during the time of the month, you should not even be seen in the temple. So the woman just said, if only I can touch the M, just the tip of his garment. That's all. Now, Jesus, that his garment was that soaked with anointing, sir, now sat on top of this cord. Oh, you didn't hear that. Sat on the cord with his whole body. When you partner with him, you see, there are some things that God wants to do here. Listen, if I want to pray for you and you open your eyes, you see angels, run. Listen, do you know angels, demons, they need permission to come here on earth? That is why, go and read the Bible. Anytime God sends an angel to anybody, the first thing the angel will say to the person, show the credential. You know the visa? Fear not. That is the visa for angels. But demons, because demons know that you don't know who you are, what their own visa to you is fear. And what do we do? Oh, well, okay. Listen. Angels, demons, they don't have rights here on earth. They are illegal immigrants. That is why God is looking everywhere. Praise the Lord. Looking for people that he can partner with. The day I came to this realization that God is looking for me to partner with me to do great exploits. Yeah, Daniel chapter 11, 32, the B part. Daniel 11, 32, the B part. He said, those who know their God. I like the New King James Version. He said, they will be strong and they will carry out great exploits. God is looking for people that will carry out great exploits. Pastor said something on Tuesday when we came. He said in Wisdom Assembly that healing virtues, that it will not need to, for example, somebody is sick and pastor is not available. Just call, who is there? Caleb. Say, yes, sir. Go to that hospital, go and heal the person. That's it. Amen. You know why? It's called partnership. Because it's not him. You know, the challenge I have with the church today is that we believe that partnership is only limited to pastors or the bishops. But that scripture says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. All we need. Do you know? It is well. Do you know Peter did not know he had it in him? Peter knew he had it in him. Go and read John chapter 21. When after Jesus, all Jesus told him everything, and he just said, I go out fishing. Listen, let me share something with you. Be careful who you associate with. And be careful the leader that you follow. Your leader can either take you to the next level or bring you down. Look at what happened to the other disciples. What did they say? We go with you. Why? Because one man fell and the others too. Peter did not know he had it in him. And Jesus said, wait, I will anoint you specially. Wait somewhere. The Spirit of God will come upon you. And Acts chapter 3, the same Peter, that a small girl, go and read the story of the denial of Peter about Jesus. It was a small girl that said to Peter, are you not one of them? And Peter, me, I've never seen the man before. And do you know three times? Let me just share this with you. Three times he denied Jesus. But because Jesus wanted to use him. In John chapter 21, how many times did Jesus call him? And each of the time, Jesus was nullifying. Because don't forget, he said in, I think it's in Matthew chapter 10, he said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. Jesus wanted to restore Peter to his original position. So that was why the first time he called him, Peter said, yes, you know I love you. In the open. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me more than this? He said, Lord, you know. The third time, Peter did not know that Jesus was restoring him back to his original position as the leader of the church. He said, Lord, but you know, Peter wanted to get angry. But Jesus was doing, he was canceling that scripture that says, if you deny me before men. And he restored him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When you partner with him, listen, there's nothing God cannot use you to do. Amen. I mean, I've seen miracles that I just said, God, one day I was praying. I said, God, I want to have the anointing of Pastor Carl Lawanse. He said, partner with me the way he has partnered with me. So I said, oh, is that all? Where is the agreement? Where do I sign? But listen, before you sign, be willing to make the same sacrifice. So when I saw the fine print, I said, hold on. Let me go and marry. Hold on. Let me enjoy life. I don't know about you. I mean, there's a man of God, I told you, I work very closely with him, that I want his anointing. It's Pastor Ye Adeboye. How many of us want his anointing? Please don't be shy. I do. I covet his anointing. Thank you. I covet his anointing. But listen, when I read the fine print, I said, God, give me some time. I'll get back to you on this matter. You know why? This man every day prays from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. every day in whatever country. I told you we were in Brazil. It was Fortaleza. Is the place Fortaleza is not even one of the major cities. We finished the program at about 10:30. We got to the hotel. He said, oh, okay, you need to go and rest. We're leaving to Sao Paulo in the morning. We're leaving at 6 a.m. At 5:45, I was downstairs because I needed to go with the pilot and, you know, to go to the airport to get with the plane ready. And I saw somebody coming from outside, drenched in sweat. He looked like him, but I just thought, it's not possible. The man that we left at that time, that he would go and pray. And as he came to me, he said, I will be down in about 30 minutes. I almost fainted. So on the plane, I asked, I said, in a place that we don't know anybody, where did you go? He said, as usual. He started with as usual. I went to pray and I felt that God wants me to pray, bless the city. And he went to pray from 11 to almost 6 in the morning. Excuse me. I don't know about you. I like my sleep. I pray for you. That God will give you the same anointing in Jesus' name. All right. Let me close with this. I close with this because my time is up. And this is the crucial part. It can release you from bondage. It can release you from stagnancy. It can decorate your life. It can give you anointing beyond your expectations. But listen, you don't want to stop partnering with him. You know why? That was the last time we heard anything about that cult. When you partner with him, when he uses you, I pray that you will not be like a borrowed vessel. If you read 2 Kings chapter 4, the wife of one of the prophets. In fact, you don't want to get me started about that prophet. I said, when I get to heaven, that guy, we have issues. Why borrow money and use your children as collateral? Why not your wife? The Bible says the husband and wife, they shall be one. Use your wife. You know what he did? He mortgaged the future of his children. And the foolish man died. Foolish man died. Mortgaging the future of these innocent children. Thank God for the man of God in the house. But, you know, the man of God said, okay, go and borrow vessels. The woman used the vessel. She used all the vessels. But do you know, because they were borrowed, at the end, she must return them back. I pray you will not be a borrowed vessel. That court, that is why you hear some people share some fantastic testimonies, and their life, the end of their lives, is nothing to write home about. Because when you partner with him, he wants you to partner. The partnership is for life. It's not for a period of time. It's for life. You must remain forever his partner. If not, you will go back to ground zero. You will go back to where you started the cult after. The reason you did not hear anything about the cult was because at the end, the cult stopped this partnership and the cult went back to being tired. Back to ground zero. Shall we please bow down our heads?